Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
John, this is interesting times. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled, and we're looking at how they're talking. We're on the edge of potential nuclear war with North Korea.
I mean, who would have thought that we would be at this place that we are? I mean, this is very real.
Yeah, and I know that when the former president left office, he said his greatest concern was North Korea when he was leaving.
Yes.
And but nothing was happening. And now, of course, with President Trump, we have two aircraft carriers out there, which has all this support. Ships that are with them, battleships and planes. And
I think a newly commissioned aircraft carrier.
Yeah, the USS Reagan. I think the Ronald Reagan is out there, along with the Coral Sea. I believe the Coral Sea as well. Well, the New York Times talks about where we just launched an ICBM. We just launched an ICBM missile from America, and we shot it down. There's like one officer said it's like a bullet moving at 1,000 miles an hour. Hmm. And you have to actually hit it right on the target. And we did it. We just did a
That's
test.
Amazing.
Because the concern is that they're going to fire an ICBM nuclear weapon at California or Washington or Seattle or for Hawaii, which is between California and North Korea. Hmm. And, of course, Japan, our friend, is just they can already reach Japan very easily with that. But what is the New York Times saying right there?
Well, they say a re-engineered American interceptor rocket collided with a Mach intercontinental ballistic missile on Tuesday afternoon in disguise over the Pacific Ocean. The Pentagon said in the first successful test of whether it could shoot down a warhead from North Korea racing toward the continental United States at speeds approaching true battle conditions.
So it's like, can we shoot down something that's going to destroy us before it gets to us? Can we destroy that thing before it destroys us?
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. And they're practicing. They're actually practicing this thing.
Wow. That's awesome. So it was successful.
Yes.
They shot it down. It was successful. I think you're probably seeing the ICBM. That's not the ICBM. But that's exactly what they did. And this is what he's threatening to do. I believe he shot one straight up. I think it went straight up into the atmosphere that he shot a rocket like that. But I don't think it had a nuclear warhead on the particular unit. Well, you know, people are maybe wondering, why are we over in the China Sea? Why are we concerned about North Korea? Well, understand, this is what the Lord told Isaiah Ramos in a prophetic dream and night vision, told him very specifically that if we don't deal with North Korea there, we'll have to deal with them here. And specifically, when you hear, we're going to have him share it with you, but when you hear what the Lord was sharing was that it would happen after the former president left, and we saw him leave, the first thing that's happening is we're having to deal with North Korea, and we need to deal with it there. We're going to find out in this program that it is they compare it to the persecuted Christians, the king, the ruler, Nero.
Oh, Nero, yes.
Nero, they're saying that's exactly how they're comparing how Christians are being treated right now, which is just, you're going to be shocked. You're going to see some video. This, I want to prepare you. This is definitely parental God has suggested, but this is what's going on right now. We don't show that right now, but this is what's happening right now. This is why God's wanting to deal with this, because we have human beings plus Christian brothers and sisters who are being killed,
tortured, raped,
beaten,
starved,
and all these things. And we'll talk more about that in the program. But first, let's go to Isaiah Ramos. I had him on the program. I had to ask him to share what the Lord dropped on his heart and gave him this night vision about America and North Korea and Kim Jong-un. Take a look. I'm so excited. We have Isaiah Ramos here with us on the program. Hey, Isaiah.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Well, this is amazing. We're seeing what God's doing right now. But before we talk about what's taking place in North Korea, before I tell you what's taking place, what our vice president just said in South Korea, I want you to share what the Lord told you specifically about North Korea and Kim Jong-un, who's the president or the leader or the tyrant that's over North Korea. Tell us what this night vision what the Lord gave you. What did he tell you?
So in the dream, I'm with a couple friends, two friends. It's me, my friend, and another friend. And we're walking in this neighborhood, and we're really young. And we're just walking by this garage. And we look in the garage, and I see a TV and some papers, and it looks like they're discussing. Mm-hmm. People are discussing something. So I kind of got scared, so we all went back. So then there's two people, Kim Jong-un, who I didn't know the name at the time, I just recognized his face, and his translator. The translator looked at me, and he asked me, do you swear on your God that you didn't see what you just saw? And I said, no, I can't.
There was something they were hiding in that garage.
Yeah. So basically,
this is Kim Jong-un's interpreter, yes. Translator telling you this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're basically just looking at him, and then they're talking, the translator and Kim Jong-un is talking, and they said, we're going to take you, and we're going to beat you, and we're going to abuse you.
Wow. And they do that to a lot of their people. I think three or five generations they take. If somebody converts to Christianity, they take three or five, maybe three generations, and put them in camps and abuse them out there. They literally abuse them in these camps for making a decision to follow Christ.
Yeah, that's horrible. But so continuing on with the dream, I'm suddenly in D.C., Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and I had two friends with me, and now there's only one friend with me.
So you're talking about a dream, a prophetic dream that God's given you, and all of a sudden it just shifts, and now you're in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I only have one friend with me now, so I'm thinking like they're probably taking us out one by one. Mm-hmm. So we're going into the White House, and basically everyone's just taking us, like Secret Service, everybody's just taking us around the White House and just hooking us up with equipment. And they're basically preparing for something's about to happen.
Something's about to hit. Something's about to come against America.
Yeah, so we're in the front.
Sense of urgency?
Yeah, sense of urgency. You feel very, like, on edge.
Okay.
And so I look out the window, or I'm, like, look out the door, and I see a car coming up, and I immediately knew that it was Kim Jong-un.
So Kim Jong-un was at the White House, in front of the White House, in this prophetic dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we rush into this room, and then I look to see that there's former President Barack Obama was there, and
he was president at the time, and so this has got to show you what's going to happen. Okay, so you're seeing former President Barack Obama. Okay.
Yes.
But this is why he was president. So what was going to happen? Okay.
Yeah. So then my other friend wasn't there anymore, so it was just me. Mm-hmm. So I looked at former President Barack Obama, and he looked at me with just fear all over his face, and he told me, help me, get out this place, help me. So I helped him out the window, and then he leaves me.
So he leaves the White House.
He leaves out of a window. Yep, and then he goes in a helicopter and he leaves.
So all this, all this crisis is about to hit America, former President Barack Obama gets in the helicopter and flies off.
Yep.
That's exactly what he did when he left the White House. He got in the helicopter and he flew off the day that President Trump took over the office. That's interesting because now we're here right in the middle of this because nobody thought this was going to happen with North Korea. But right now we have a military fleet that's going out as we speak and is sitting off the coast of North Korea. They're threatening nuclear bombs to come on Japan, upon South Korea, upon America. And China's now getting involved. Mm-hmm. And this is why we're saying this is because some people are saying that it's not that important. Kim Jong-un is not that important. God's going, he's so important. He was fixing to do something really bad to America. And our president is getting ahead of the ball, and he's dealing with it. So you're looking at right now, they have the USS Ronald Reagan out there, carrier with when a carrier goes, it has a whole squadron that goes with it. And also the Carl Vinson, I believe, that's out there now. And so God said, this is what God said. I mean, that's exactly how President Barack Obama left. He left in a helicopter and left this whole North Korean situation with President Trump. I don't think he thought he was going to be leaving with President Trump. We're looking back at what is really going on in North Korea, the persecution of the citizens, and the persecution of Christians is taking place. And they have these camps called camps or gulags where they're actually taking the citizens. And if you're a Christian, you're really going to go there, and they abuse you. And so they don't have any pictures from that because
it's a closed state.
It's a closed state. But the prisoners that were there who got out did sketches of what was taking place right there. And it's horrific things taking place. And so we're going to do two things. You'll see running behind us those sketches. And I want to tell you that it's definitely parental guidance suggested. You might not want your kids to see it. But we have to understand, why are we sending our soldiers over there now? Why are we talking about ending this regime? Why are we talking about this? Because of what we're about to talk about is taking place there. And God is a just God. God doesn't want that to happen to the human race. The Christians that are being persecuted there is way worse than that. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to see these images. These are sketches that were sketched by previous people who were being persecuted, citizens of North Korea who were being persecuted inside the gulags or the camps that are there. And so we're going to read about it. But what the imagery you're going to see behind us as we're reading this, as John's reading this, is the sketches done by the former prisoners who were in there. It's just shocking. But so prepare yourself. John, what did the Washington Post, was it?
Actually, the Christian Post, very interesting article that really begins to uncover a lot of the things that are happening in North Korea.
And they compared them to Nero, right, in Rome?
Well, one of the authors here, you know, compares the persecutions happening to Christians. It's right on course with what happened with Nero. And if you remember Nero, he was actually putting Christians on torches, on
poles.
Well,
he burned down half the city and blamed it on the Christians.
Yeah.
He had a garden, and he put the Christians on a pole and set them on fire and lit his gardens.
So that he can see at night his garden.
Right.
This is what he did to Christians, dipped them in oil.
Right.
So they're making this comparison. But according to a prominent human rights activist, Greg Scarlatou, he said during a Capitol Hill briefing Wednesday, they convened by the religious freedom advocacy group International Christian Concern, activists and North Korean defector extensively detailed the grave human rights abuses Christians and all others who live under the rule of the communist Kim regime endure. And they urged lawmakers...
So he's a defector and he's writing about it.
Well, no, not him.
He interviewed a defector.
Correct. He interviewed a defector. They spoke to lawmakers. They're having a policy day on Capitol Hill.
This is horrific what's taking place to the Korean people. I mean.
Yeah, so they're urging lawmakers to support a resolution to reauthorize a North Korean Human Act of 2004. And that act, you know, they want to reauthorize it because it's run out. Well, some senators were there. They spoke as well.
Senator Ted Cruz is one of those,
right? Cruz, okay. James Lankford of Oklahoma, Chris Smith of New Jersey, and a few others.
Uh-huh.
But this is what came out. They said the human rights advocates with years of experience in dealing with North Korea outlined how the Kim regime has nearly wiped out Christianity in the closed-off, isolated nation.
They almost wiped out Christianity in this closed-off nation. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
And you'll notice what we're seeing here is that, you know, the Kim family, three Kims, he's the third generation Kim.
Yes. That grandfather, father, and now son.
They're setting themselves up saying they're God and that people are supposed to worship them. But the thing they're in competition with is God. And so they're trying to get all of God's children out of the nation so that they would worship him and not worship God.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing, the persecution of Christians.
Yeah, okay. Because early on there was a thriving Christian community. You'll find out more, but it's wiped away. As the tragedy of Korean separation continues, after almost seven decades, one remembers that the northern half of the Korean peninsula was once the cradle of the Korean Presbyterian Church.
So think about it. So this was actually the center, the epicenter of the Korean Presbyterian Church.
There were so many Christians in North Korea that it was called, the nickname for the capital was called East Jerusalem East.
Wow.
There was that many Christians.
And so you see the enemy coming in now and through the Kim family and trying to destroy
snuff
the people.
It out.
But his competition is not with man, it's with God.
It's with God.
Yeah.
So Greg Scarlatou, he leads this Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. He has led the publication of at least 24 reports and books on the Kim's regimes, the human rights abuses, and said during a panel discussion about these things with other human rights experts. Now, also in the article also states that prior to the communist takeover, the capital city used to be known as Jerusalem of the East.
Mm.
He continued that in North Korea, Christianity was once a way of life, with two churches on the same street corner being a common sight.
It sounds like America today.
Yeah.
The two churches on the same street corner is the way of life, that we're a Judeo-Christian nation. But really, they're sending us warnings now because we're in the early stages. If we don't wake up, that's the ultimate goal of
coming.
The adversary.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Scarlatou continues to explain.
This is the Post, right? Christian Post?
Correct. That it was started in 1946 when the Provisional People's Committee for North Korea forced the closure of churches with congregations that did not meet a predetermined required number of people.
So the government started setting rules. We would say that's a violation of our First Amendment because
we have the Constitution.
Because we have the Constitution. The government shall make no laws concerning the church. And this is why. Because all of a sudden they started minimalizing the church And we had two churches on every street corner, basically, he said, right? And so when they started making laws, they started to control. Once they can put laws on something, they can control. If you have the power to tax, you have the power to destroy. If you have the power to make laws over something, you have the power to end something.
But they saw it as an extreme threat. They had to get rid of it. You'll see.
Because they wanted to be God. They wanted to be set up as God. Yes. I mean, this is what they're saying.
But this is common for all dictators. This happened with Pol Pot as well in Cambodia, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. But he said God is dead. This guy's saying he is God.
Yeah.
He's saying he is God. Okay.
Well, the committee began to forbid Protestant and Catholic in-house assemblies and made Sunday a work day and Monday a rest day.
So the groundwork of this beginning, this hub of Christian activity in this nation began with putting laws on the church and then said that you cannot gather in houses. It has to be done in a public in this amount of place. So they're against churches meeting in houses.
Yes.
You couldn't do that. And then made Sunday
days.
A work day.
Right.
So they were trying to busy get...
Get people busy. Yeah. Disrupt the flow of society.
This is how, but look how it ended up. You're looking at sketches right now behind us of the tragedy of previous inmates that have been in these persecuted camps in North Korea. God's wanting to end this. Obviously, he's like, this is it. And that's how Satan hates you. I mean, you're creating the image and the likeness of God. And when he sees you, you remind him of God. And he has been rejected by God because of what he did. He set himself up as God. Remember, in the very beginning, he says, I will exalt my throne above his throne. And he made that decision, and that's when he got cast down as he is now. And now you're looking at the same battle spiritually happening that's manifesting through people like Kim and others there.
I don't know who said it, but someone said, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And this is something that you're seeing in this regime over three generations.
Well, listen, before we go to break, we're going to continue on talking about what's taking place there. And the reason why we wanted you to know this is because you can understand why our sailors and our soldiers and our Marines and our militaries investing there. If that was me in the camps, if that was me under this kind of persecution and I saw an aircraft carrier off the coast, I'd be so grateful. You know, and if I had children that were there, I would think, well, I might not live through this battle, but at least my children, these people, can be free right now. We are looking at the tragedy, what's going on behind the walls, behind the camps in North Korea. I mean, Germany was horrific. This is worse than Germany that's going on, it looks like. The persecution that's taking place. And we're going to have, and make sure you stay tuned to this program, because we're going to have in this program in a little bit actual witnesses, former prisoners and prison guards sharing what took place there, and you're gonna hear firsthand knowledge. And what you're about to see behind us while we're finishing this article with the Christian Post, I want to prepare you. It's parental God has suggested, but there's no pictures being taken of the persecution in these camps. So former prisoners have written sketches. And so what you're seeing are sketches of people trying to communicate what is going on. And you'll hear them firsthand talk about it a little bit later in this program. But we're reading from the Christian Post about what's happening inside of North Korea. It used to be a hub of the Presbyterian Church. Who would ever thought it would have come to something like this?
Jerusalem East.
And now look what the enemy's doing to that particular region. God's wanting to free that up, I believe. What else did they say in the Christian Post?
So just to kind of connect the dots here, you know, we were talking about what this regime was trying to do was just remove every existence of the Christian church, God.
Yeah, because he wants to set himself as God.
Well, he is setting himself as God.
He's saying he
to
is,
those
obviously.
People, of course, right? You know. And the people are worshiping him, but the article.
If they don't, they go to camps.
Yeah, they're tortured.
This torture killed. Stuff. Okay.
And so the article continues to say that the committee.
By the way, you're seeing some of these images. They're comparing it to Auschwitz and some others. So you're going straight from Auschwitz and some of these images, and then you go into North Korea. So you're seeing the two comparisons. And what the author was saying was, it's the same thing that was going on, the persecution taking place.
Yeah. The committee began to forbid Protestant and Catholic in-house assemblies and made Sunday a work day and Monday a rest day. And this was just the beginning, he added, under the pretext that the sound of religious songs disturbed public life. That same committee asked churches to relocate.
So it says you're a noise disturbance. Yeah. You're a worship of God. Think about it. How much the adversary hates worship. Mm. When you worship God, they're manifesting that reality that if I have control, I'm going to shut down your worship.
Yes.
It was bugging him that people were singing praises to God.
You know, this advocacy group that's sharing the awareness of the persecuted church, they, for the first time, listed the United States as a country now that is open to persecuting
Christians. The beginning stages, just like they
began. Because
that was like East Jerusalem. That's what they called it. So of God, Judeo-Christian country. And now look what's taken place. So it was a great place before, in regards to the church, to where it's ended up now.
Okay. Yeah, the reason being is they were forcing the church out from the public square into the private, you know, just...
Well, they wouldn't even let you meet in the houses. And but remember this, too, that anytime somebody wants communism and socialism, this is where it ends up. Because the next thing you're talking about is the Communist Party, right? Agitators?
Agitators were inserted into Christian communities and church assemblies. They began criticizing the sermons as being unprogressive.
Paul warned about these. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said, watch out. He says, those that come amongst you, they're not of you. Mm-hmm. And obviously they begin to infiltrate the churches, and people probably thought there's just an agitated member, we just need to calm them down. But what was really going on is what you're seeing these images behind us, that's what the enemy had in mind. He wanted to destroy the church. And so you got to really you need to get a tight relationship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You should know if a wolf's amongst you.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, wolves have come amongst you, they're not even to spare the body. And that's what they were doing there, right? They sent in agitators, okay?
It was 1962 that then-leader Kim Il-sung told the regime security agency that we cannot move toward a common society with religious people, according to Scarlett
Chu. People who are have religious beliefs were getting in the way of their plans.
Yeah, their agenda.
That reminds me exactly what Hillary Clinton was saying. She wanted to change fundamental religious beliefs. That's the same thing they're doing. As a matter of fact, do we have that play? This is Hillary Clinton saying that fundamental religious beliefs need to be changed. That's exactly what they're saying in North Korea.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
Let's hear that one more time. Think about this. Let's hear that one more time.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
So let's go back and read that again. Let's go back and read that again right here. He said specifically,
it was in 1962 that then leader Kim Il-sung told the regime security that we cannot move toward a common society with religious people.
So what she was saying is that the same thing, you got to get rid of.
Got to get rid of them.
Christians. You got to get religious people who have faith. You got to let government be God. This is, you know, North Korea has turned into where government has become God, the leader of that government.
There's many people in this nation that want to see the same thing happen.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of times they don't understand that's the goal of the enemy. It might not be your goal.
Right.
But that's the goal of darkness. And eventually, you know, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And obviously, look at this. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Mm. And so we have to turn back to God as a nation, right?
Yeah. It continues to say in this article, this is why we have to put on trial and punish those who hold positions of deacon or higher in the Protestant or Catholic churches.
So this literally started talking about positions in the church.
Yes.
Well, people get rid of titles in a hurry. I don't need a title. But that's what they started going specifically out the authority in the church.
Yes,
went straight
targeting them.
Yes.
Scarlett Chu continues to explain that in 1948, about one quarter of the North Korean population was of some religious belief.
But 25%. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But statistical data today shows that number is now below 1%.
So it went from 25% of a population now lower than 1%. And that's not even documented now because it's getting so...
Yeah, so watered down.
And people are going in this environment, risking their lives to spread the gospel. It's amazing what's taking place, you know.
The article continues to say that like other communist leaders, as mentioned earlier, Kim Il-sung and the Kim's regime has rejected religion as the opium of the people.
God's gun and gold. You remember somebody talking about that
yeah.
They run to God, their guns and gold. And it's like, you have to, that sound, if you don't know that there is a God, that doesn't it probably make sense to you. Mm-hmm. But if you understand God is real, he exists.
He
created everything. He holds everything together. And that you're made in the image and the likeness of God. And of course you run into your creator. Of course you go to him in times of this kind of, all these
kinds of relationships.
Yeah, it's a personal relationship. It's not opium. Opium's opium. You know, God is it's a personal relationship through his son, Jesus Christ. And so, but they realize
something's happening
to this population
is happening.
Because they're okay. We're doing things to them, but they're okay. We're persecuting them, but they're okay. We got to get rid of their faith.
Which has scared them to realize there's something to it. It's God.
Right.
You can't mess with God.
Right. And I'm sure they couldn't figure out. It's like, I punched him in one cheek, but he turned the other cheek.
That's right.
He asked him to go 1 mile, but he went 2 miles. This thing is like an opium. It's like the love of God. I mean, they probably, no telling how many rewards this church in Korea is going to have in Korea, because they've gone through the worst
untold
persecution.
Untold suffering, really.
Yeah.
Well, the article continues to state that North Korean society is split up into social classes in which every single North Korean resident is classified according to their political risk to the Kim regime. According to Liberty in North Korea, about 27% of North Korean population is assigned to the hostile class, the lowest class, which consists of political dissidents of the communist regime, religious citizens, capitalists, and other descendants.
So literally 27% has been marginalized. Said these are
troublemakers
because they have faith.
Yeah.
Come on, we are covering our brothers and sisters and our fellow citizens of the world in North Korea and the tragedy they're going through with the gulags and the camps. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. And when I was in prison, you came and visited me. And think about this. The church is being persecuted in North Korea, and with America going out there with our carriers and saying, we want to be able to stop this stuff. I mean, that's in the eyes of God. It's like, that's justice coming to the whole situation.
It is justice. It is justice. Our vice president just said that the era of strategic patience is over with North Korea.
What are the numbers? Did you hear some numbers?
Well, yes.
Christian
Post is saying in this article that despite the lack of access to North Korea, there are believed to be at least 120,000 people who are being tortured, beaten, and forced to do hard labor in North Korean prison camps right now. And in 2014, the United Nations reported that hundreds of thousands of prisoners have died in North Korean gulags. I mean, this is
It's a tragedy.
Horrific.
As a matter of fact, you're about to hear right now, this is... You know, parental guidance has suggested, but this is straight from former prisoners and guards who are in these camps and them telling you exactly what takes place. Brace yourself, but we need to know this, because when you're seeing the battle and we're seeing, you know, standing up for what's right and preventing this nuclear war from taking place, there's also persecuted citizens all over that whole country, and realize they're about to be potentially set free. Take a look.
It is a place that would make your hair stand on end. No words would help you to understand what this place is like. Kim Young-soon spent 9 years in the political prison camp Yodak. From sunrise to sunset, you work. There are no set working hours. You get up at 3:30 a.m. to report at work at 4:30 a.m., and then you work until dark. You need to walk 12 to 14 miles to get to the field where you plow. A former prison official. You'd be expected to walk the distance and then plow the field. You'd have to stay awake until midnight as well. There are meetings going until midnight. Four women had to plow with an ox cart, two in front and two at the back, carrying a ton of soil in the cart. We couldn't do this at a walking pace either. We had to run. Ji-young Park fled North Korea. She was detained after being arrested in China and then sent to a labor camp. Once you get to Unsung, women will go through a blood test to check for pregnancy and any sexually transmitted diseases. They would force abortion after the pregnancy test. Pregnant women get sent to labor camps to carry loads up and down the hills, which cause miscarriages. The shortage of food is the biggest problem in the North Korean military. Civilians and the military suffer from food shortage. Starvation is the biggest problem. Julim Kim, he was a former military captain. I saw piles of bodies who have died from starvation in public places. If you eat food in less than 10 minutes, you excrete all. And the third degree of malnutrition.
3도 일정한 단계를 지나게 되면
the anus opens up and eating does not help. You cannot save this person. After the anus is open for a week, the body swells up. Then ooze comes out from the sweat pores. It swells up huge. And the ooze comes out. That's become a reality in North Korea. People got so hungry, they would eat anything. From dog food and cattle feed left out at other people's houses, and beans left on the ground. I've heard of that some people ate beans and maize kernels stuck in an animal dung. Guilt by association. The guilt by association system applies to the family members. I may be the culprit, but the other six members of my family are forced to go with me to the prison camp without knowing the charge. I have escorted a father and son to Camp 16. Then the whole family was sent to the camp. Then the relatives would be sent to Camp 11. That is so-called exterminating the three generations of a family. My mother and father, who were over 70 years old, my 9-year-old daughter, and my three sons, who were 7, 4, and 1. When my parents starved to death, I didn't have coffins for them. I wrapped their bodies with straw, carried them on my back, and went to bury them myself. And the children, I lost all my family. Public executions. The first public execution I had to witness happened to be my classmate's brother-in-law. The first bullet hits the head strap, and the brain and blood spatters. People scream in horror at this sight. The crowd roars. It is so gruesome. You instinctively close your eyes or turn your head away on subsequent gunshots. When all the gunshots have died down, you look and the body is heaped onto the ground. You can't sleep after witnessing it. You're haunted by the nightmarish image in dreams. I've witnessed two killing methods. One is getting the prisoner to dig their own grave. Afterwards, the prisoner is made to stand before the grave. The prisoner stands there, facing his grave, and is unable to see what's behind him. The hammer is small. It's a short metal hammer. The second method is like this. The prisoner comes into the office and is told to take a seat. Behind the screen, there are two people on standby. Always. They're holding on to what looked to me like a rubber rope. It's a meter long, just about. If you strike someone with it, it will wrap around their neck. Then you kill them by pulling the rope. People in the UK and the international community should know the reality of North Korea. Once you know what the reality is, the voice to improve the situation in North Korea can follow. The change needs to begin with a greater awareness of human rights in North Korea. Many people wish for reform and openness in North Korea.
This is such a tragedy, what's taking place potentially as we speak right now. And so when you think about two American aircraft carriers with all their squadron out around them saying, listen, this has to stop. The time of strategic patience is over, according to the vice president and what he said. And it just has to be dealt with. And so it's not this political stuff people are talking about. It's human beings being abused and killed and several generations. And Jesus said You know, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. Well, this is a whole people group that's being persecuted, just like it was in the time of Germany, what was being done to the Jews and to the not German enough folks. And that, you know, we are in that generation. Yes. What are we going to do with North Korea? So we need to pray for North Korea. We need to pray for our soldiers that are out there. We got to pray for justice. We got to pray for those prisoners that are being abused, and just that God would just rescue them and turn this thing around. I want to pray now. Father God, we just pray right now for the citizens of North Korea, Lord God, that you would free them from this persecution, Lord, that you would rescue them from these camps, God, that you would rescue your church, Lord God. We pray for justice to be served, yes, in North Korea, Father God, that this nuclear capabilities would end. And we thank you for a president that's standing up for what's right.
Yes.
God, and a military that's standing up for what's according to just human value. God, and we just pray that you would give us a grace and that you would end this regime, Father God, and set the North Koreans free. That once again they would be known as East Jerusalem, Father God. And Lord, we pray for America too, Lord, just like North Korea, Lord, that you would end this murder, end abortion, and in this nation, that we ask, Father God, that you would send revival and that you would send a third great awakening in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.